there and the opportunity to meet more people. I'm still saying I'm fairly new in North Carolina, but I guess time is passing because this young lady told me that she'd been here longer than me. But my daughter and son-in-law are artists and graphic designers and photographers and self-employed and blah, 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 and they wanted to see where the most vital place in the country was for their artwork, and so Asheville won. Or it came in second. They wanted to go to Oregon, and they wanted me to be around them, and I said no. I've lived in Florida too long. Oregon would put me under with the rain and the dreary. So, no, it felt that way from what you hear. And so maybe I goofed, but we're here. And our long-range goal is to find land and create a retreat center teaching spirituality and music and art. And my son-in-law's growing mushrooms. We found out that's quite interesting around here. So we're still getting adjusted and settled in. But as I told the lady I was sitting close to, I sang Hallelujah on the way here. The drive here is beautiful. Yeah. This is a totally different kind of topic than I ever speak about, so it's a new adventure. There's parts of it that are very touching to me and personally, but I'm usually talking about the soul, so we're still talking about souls, but in a different way as we focus on our fathers today. I wasn't sure, hadn't even thought about when did Father's Day take place. So, of course, I Googled it like we Google everything, and was surprised that the first attempt to establish a Father's Day was in the 14th, 15th century, someplace in there, to honor St. Joseph. And the date that they had chosen to do that was March 19th. When I started looking at the ones that are here in our own country, the first effort was in 1908 in West Virginia. Didn't get any support. I'm going to go through the list of the ones that didn't get the support. In 1910, a family in Spokane tried again. In 1911, Jane Addams made a request to the government and was refused. Another family or person tried in Vancouver, Washington in 1912. There was more notice about all of this in 1915 because the Lions Club thought it might be a good idea. It was finally noticed by President Coolidge in 1924, but not proclaimed as a holiday on a third Sunday until 1966 by President Johnson, and finally became a national holiday in 1972 by President Nixon. So my mind went to, well, where was I in 1972? And didn't know that that was the beginning or the stamp of approval on it. But the first person that wanted to try this wanted it to be for her father's birthday. Now, since all our fathers are on different birthdays, another one attempt was because there was a man who was a single parent, and I'm talking like 1910, which to me seems kind of unusual, but he raised six children, and the six children thought he ought to be honored by the goodness that he had brought forth. So the contribution toward Father's Day was to honor the fathers that children loved, or that they were noticed by contributing to their communities and to our country. But today we're here, we're going to focus on our own fathers, and we can acknowledge that there's a wide range of character in each of our fathers. I'm sure that as your father pops into your mind, we each have our own character. By concluding that that is the case, I was thinking that we are quite an interesting composite of our parentage. And as we grew and we evolved, we determine our choices to that experience with our fathers. We can embrace their teachings. We can reject those teachings. Or we can renovate those childhood experiences and teachings. I like to renovate. I'd like, though, for us to do a little assessment, if you're open to it, about our own fathers. I'd like to invite you to go on a short inner journey. If you would go within and the chairs seem comfortable and you're comfortable in that space, and if you're comfortable to close your eyes, to me that always helps me to learn to focus in that way a little better. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to ask you to take 5 deep breaths throughout this. So as we breathe deeply, let your mind bring early childhood memories of your earthly father into your view. Allow your emotions to rise in accordance with these memories. Breathing deeply again, invite your higher self into the mix, guiding you to understanding this relationship with your father. And with another deep breath, let your mind bring forth early childhood memories of learning about God in Sunday school, your family, your community. What stories, what feelings, what images come to your internal review of learning about God, about Yahweh? With your next deep breath, envision yourself in conversation with the Father God, seeing yourself in the arms of the Divine, the Holy One, Creator of all that is. And with that fifth very deep breath, evaluate this journey within. What joy or sadness, praise, forgiveness, gratitude, love, fear, or possibly peace fills you? And as you come back into this room, with that little review, what a wealth of data fills our minds, our hearts, and our souls about our fathers. The many memories, the positive, the negative, the neutrals. As mentioned, I've been a clinical social work counselor for many years. I have counseled hundreds, many, many people that have had father issues, of course mother issues, and God issues. The experiences that we have in our childhood begin at the time of our conception. At conception, we're already absorbing the feel, the emotions. As we grow as children, we're taking in so many experiences from our communities and churches and schools, our friends, our cousins. But we are under the control of our parents, per se, or we are loved and embraced by our parents. and we are taught. My early memories include being told that I strengthened my father's left bicep as he was pushing the bassinet, hoping I would go to sleep and stop crying. Apparently, I entered this journey with some strong lungs and colic. I am a firstborn. My favorite memories are of riding on my father's shoulders at the zoo or at the park when he would swing me and I wanted to go so high and he'd swing me higher because I wanted to touch the sky. My first fear of my father when I was maybe 4 or 5. Supposedly, I was asleep again. Supposedly. But our house was connected. Mom and Dad were in the living room, their bedroom, and then there was a hallway to our bedroom, my brother and I. Well, as I said, I was supposed to be asleep, but I appeared at the bedroom door, seeing them at the couch across the room. And I was really excited. I was going to tell them about a new word that I'd heard. Shit. Well, as I said, there was that joined hallway, and when my father came up off of that couch right away and coming straight at me, I took off running. Except I didn't get to run very far or fast enough, for sure. And I had my first learning of not to cuss. And believe you me, I never wanted it to happen again because I never wanted to taste ivory soap again. I also remember my daddy trying to fix barrettes in my hair on a Sunday when we were running late to get to church on time. He was great with helping us to fly kites and play ball. And Sunday afternoons were for drives that always ended at the Dairy Queen. My daddy's voice was deep and loud when he intended for us to pay attention to his directives. We were to mind. So I did, because he scared me sometimes when supposedly, can you believe it? Supposedly my brother and I had done something wrong. My father had a temper at times. My father became my model and my hero. He liked to read, to learn. He was an athlete in his high school on their debate team. He was 3 years old when his own father died from a kidney infection. He had his first job delivering newspapers at age 8. He graduated from high school. He served in World War II. He received a Purple Heart. He encouraged education and told me that I could accomplish whatever I set my mind to do. I am grateful for my father. So I believe that my bachelor's degree was for him. My master's was for me. He wished that he could be a prosecuting attorney, and he would have made a good one. Because he was strong, he believed in rules and doing things the right way and the right for the right purpose. He worked hard to provide for our family. We were his priority. I love my father. I did the eulogy for his funeral. As I practiced this yesterday and had tears, I thought, really? It's been a while. So I was hoping that I'd get through it without any, but as you can tell, my memories of learning about God seem to parallel to my to be a parallel to my father. My God was also strong and had rules and spoke loudly through the Bible. There were impressive ministers that I was exposed to. I grew up in a community where there were a lot of revivals at times. Those were intense little town meeting things. I was active in Sunday school and the youth group. I really got a tickle with one memory yesterday as I was thinking about it. A friend and I, we were so involved in the church and in the youth group, and we decided we'd be missionaries and go to Africa. Neither of us made it there. But one summer at camp, I guess we kept the minister up all night because the last song around the campfire, you know how you can get enthused and drawn into those songs, was "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to take you home." We got scared for some reason. We decided we weren't quite ready for going home. But we had a good time, and we really had a strong commitment to what we learned in our church. So I believed when they told us that God was everywhere and knew everything I was doing. I believed. And I knew that I was expected to be good. I minded each father to the very best that I could. But at times this made me feel scared, uncertain, and lonely and questioning. I thought the expectation was to be perfect, of which I quickly failed in my mind. Behaviors and emotions did not always bring forth perfection. Why have I taken this much time sharing about my father and what I learned about God? My father and the God that I knew filled me with tools for living. They both provided guidelines. They revealed to me the importance of doing well, of respecting other people, of being honest, being productive, and set goals and complete what needed to be done. As an adult, I was able to evaluate my earthly father's more clearly, accepting his good qualities and knowing that his temper had also created some fear and hesitancy into my adulthood, which had to be healed and released, as we've all had issues, I think, things to resolve with a parent. Additionally, a piece of his temper had appeared to take residence in me as well. And so I had to work on some more healing and release and keep an eye on that. For me to fulfill life with these models was a challenge. And I stumbled many times. A young marriage, becoming disillusioned and depressed, divorced. I felt let down by God and by my church. A single parent of two, I completed my education. Then my son died, age 16, in an auto accident. And I wondered how I could tolerate listening to other people's problems. Yet God, my divine presence, opened my heart and soul more deeply. I knew that God was the only place, the only being that could accept the depth of my pain, my rage, and my angst. The Divine Presence, Holy One, became my strength. embracing me even more deeply and tightly in light and love was a great intensity that I felt. It expanded my understanding and was really kind of the kickoff to me to start looking into more understanding or methods and opportunities about spirituality. And with that expansion, with all that I've already stated, God was my solace. God moved from my belief system of the heavens down into my heart. God came and moved out of the church down into my heart. Truly and truly, I knew that God was with me in my heart and filling me with compassion for myself and guiding me into and through my darkest hour, my grief. God held me and directed me to heal. I met with a mentor of mine a few weeks after my son's death, and she was asking me, how are you going to do? And I said, I have to heal in a positive way to show respect for my son's life. She asked me, how did you come with that? I said, I don't know. I didn't come up with it. It was brought to me. And I believe that God was with me so intensely through my grief to bring about that healthy healing, to guide me and direct me to where I could learn more. God sustained me because I believe in that healing, that I was being prepared. Thought I could get through this part too. To share with literally, which I did, I shared with literally, I counted it one day because I was counting it up in another presentation. I've met with thousands of people, patients and families and children and grandchildren and grandpas, but I never had a grandpa. They're kind of special people. But I walked the journey with them through their grief. Grief brings us to a point of deep, deep reality about who you are, who others are, what's real, what's valuable. What is the most important thing in our lives? I am grateful for my God. I love my God. And I think that that most important value is love. It is love. Our fathers gave us a foundation for our life journey. Bless you. Knowing we would experience goodness, pain, and sorrow. We would know strength, and yet we would have to confront fears. We would know joy and love, safety or despair. From our fathers, we grew. And we learned to turn within. No matter what, we've learned to turn within, to know ourselves, to know that we are the presence of humanness enfolded within the sacredness of divine love. We are the outcome of our fathers. We are the beloved of creation. Hold on to that word, beloved. We are the beloved of creation from our earthly fathers and our divine presence within, through, and around us. The Holy One is shining. The divine presence is expressing light and love through us. I am, you are, we are the beloved creation of the Holy One, creator of all that is, the divine presence residing, shining from your heart. Each of our hearts just glow. And we need this evermore, I believe, right now. Evermore. So I invite you to touch your heart every day. Touch your heart and know and ask that that divine light shine more brightly because of the wonder of creation that you are. So, even with my tears, let us celebrate today and honor our fathers. Hallelujah. Namaste.